Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
You have to ask the question, just how long can the Democrats keep up doing what they're doing on so many levels, whether it's crime locally, wherever you live in the United States, whether it's the open border to the South, whether it's the money we're spending on the war and now bragging outwardly that we are in a war with Russia and winning little victories. They can't help themselves. They want to brag about this. They're trying to provoke a bigger conflict. They want, I'm telling you, I will now be surprised if we don't send troops and fight Russia at some point. This will surprise me if this doesn't happen before the election. In some twisted way, they may think it will help them in the midterms, and they will do this. They really don't care about the American people or our well-being. But the headline overwhelming everything now in the United States is the economy. There is nothing good anywhere except people are working, which is exactly how they want it. The people in charge are like, okay, let's make sure everybody's out there working and doing their part and paying their taxes, but everything else, we don't care. We don't care if inflation's out of control and it's eating into their wallet. We don't care if the stock market crashes. We don't care about the long-term effects on the economy. We don't care about federal government debt. We don't care about the billions we're spending on a war. We don't care about any of that. We want to sow division. We want to appeal to people that want to hate Republicans. That's all they're interested in. That's their entire game plan. Let's find things and throw them out there and see if we can't make people hate Republicans for the awful people that conservatives and Republicans are. The stock market. Look, I did a patron podcast a couple of days ago, and I don't talk a lot about the patron podcast on the regular podcast because it's for patrons. But I led with, I do a lot of like personal admissions there, things in our life, things going on, things about me. And I led with, I now understand why I got a D my freshman year in econ. Now, I didn't pay enough attention in class, certainly. And we were studying the economy of the Soviet Union at the time, and things like that were uninteresting to me. But I like the markets. I like economics. I like money. I like finances. I enjoy that. It's a side passion. I do enjoy it. And I said, this shows you how much I know. The Fed raised interest rates by a half a point, 50 basis points, a half point, half percentage point, in order to slow down spending. In other words, they don't want people to buy houses. They don't want people to buy cars. They don't want people to buy computers. They don't want people to buy appliances. They don't want people to buy any big ticket items where they may, you know, have to borrow some money. They are going to rack up debt on credit cards. People are going to pay more in interest every month on 21% credit cards. Therefore, they'll have less money to spend. Therefore, we will cool inflation. If there's not so much demand, if people aren't buying and spending so much, it will bring prices down. We'll cool the inflation. And if you're trying to keep people from spending, what I asked or questioned about on the podcast was, I'm an idiot. I don't understand economics. I would think if you raise interest rates and you don't want people to spend money, the stated goal is let's stop all the people from buying stuff, that stocks would go down. And the stocks went up 900 bucks, 900 points or something on Wednesday. So I made a joke about this, and a lot of guys that are patrons that are really smart about the market said, well, here's why it did this. Here's what they're thinking. It wasn't a 0.75 increase. They've signaled they're not going to do a 0.75, so there's optimism, whatever. I'm like, I don't get it. This can't last. This has to kill the markets. If you're trying to slow the spending of American people, it has to slow the stock market. Stock market has to go backwards. Well, of course, on Thursday, we saw an $1,100 plummet. Tech stocks went down. The Dow futures are down on Friday morning. The market has opened, and the futures are down 200 more, another half point. You can't sustain this. You can't print and borrow money. You can't fund a war. You can't have inflation, and you can't raise interest rates so people don't spend money without the stock markets going down. I cannot, and I didn't do well in econ, so I may sound like a complete idiot to some of you. But how in the world can companies thrive if the government is trying to keep the citizens from spending? They don't care about any of us. All right, the real numbers are in. We've got a jobs report on this Friday. There are 428,000 new jobs added. And the word out on these new jobs is it's people coming out of retirement and going back to work, taking jobs, making way less money than they made throughout their lifetime or in their career. They're just taking work because all of a sudden everything is so expensive. They're not getting by on their savings or whatever their draw is from their retirement, from their 401ks or their investments. They're not getting by on their Social Security check. So they're like, okay, we got to go back to work. We can't retire. We knew about a lot of people on the sidelines because of COVID that said, we can afford this. We're out. They're coming back because of inflation. Wages are up 5.5% year over year. That may sound great, but inflation's up 8.5%. So Americans every single month are getting news that they're 3 to 5% worse off than they were a year ago on average. 3 to 5% on average. That sounds low to me. As the price of groceries goes up, this sounds really low to me. Nobody's rent, nobody's lease is coming due without their rent being raised higher than ever before. Nobody's buying a house paying a better interest rate than before. The interest rates are awful. Well, they're not historically awful. They're awful relative to what they've been for quite some time. They're the worst since Obama, 2009. I tweeted out yesterday. So mortgage rates are the highest they've been since Obama was president for about a year, which is where we are with Biden. You get about a year into a Democrat president and all hell breaks loose with the economy. You know this. You know this when you vote. This is what people vote for. They vote on abortion. They vote on gay rights. They vote on all these social things that are fake, that don't exist, that are fraudulent in the greatest country in the world to live in with the least racism, the best laws on the books, total equality for everyone. And yet they vote on that and say, to hell with my lifestyle, to hell with being able to pay the bills. I don't care. Now, I don't understand people like that, but there are people that really don't care. They don't care whether they can pay their bills. They just figure the government will take care of me. Somebody will take care of me. I'll get by. I'll eat beans and rice, whatever I got to do. I'll get by, but doggone it, I'm going to paint my hair this color and I'm going to wear this tie-dye t-shirt and I'm going to go march this week. Somehow I'll eat. They don't all look skinny to me out there marching. So they're eating somehow, even though they don't work, they just march, they just protest. But the gap is there. Inflation is higher than wages rising, and that's a big problem. Experts will tell you, again, I'm not an expert, I've simply read this in the last 36 hours as I've thought about this, we have to stop spending. It's as simple as this. The Fed at this point can't help. They're trying and it's not working. The Federal Reserve can't help, and the government won't help. That's where we are. The feds can't help, and the government won't help. We have a government that will not help. They will not do what's necessary. They will not stop spending on a war. They will not open up pipelines and refineries and drilling and fix the gas problem. They won't do any of this stuff. They won't do it. They won't stop the people coming in from the border. They won't stop any of the problems that are leading to all of this. They won't. The government won't, and the Federal Reserve can't. That's where we are. Inflationary recession is the worst recession. It's coming. It's going to be bad. Now, I'm not an eager guy. I'm not selling anything in my portfolio. I trust my people with what I've saved in my life for my retirement to adjust it around, get into safer things, not take big losses through this time. But I believe in leaving my investments there for the long term. I still have 13 more years before I'm required to take anything out. So it's going to stay. I've got 13 years. God willing, my health is good. I've got the 13 years. I don't need the money. I don't want the money. It's there. That's just the way I invest. I don't know how you invest. Some of you are off doing Bitcoin. You've gotten completely out of the market. You're doing crypto. Great for you. I hope that works. I hope whatever you do works for you. Some people like my mom are insanely conservative and still put money in banks and CDs and things like that because they know it won't go away. Well, she's getting crushed with inflation. It's even worse for her. I mean, she's just getting crushed. With 8.5% inflation, she's losing a lot of money on her retirement every single day. And that's what a lot of Americans are feeling, and that's where we are. That's the reality. And my headline today is, feds can't help, government won't help. That's where we are economically. We do have people in D.C. fighting back, and my favorite person in Washington, D.C. right now, and I move, this is a moving target. I move around a lot. I love Josh Hawley. I just love the guy. So he's there, and he gets his 5 minutes with Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and the questioning is about hiring Nina Jankowicz, the disinformation czar. She's the head of disinformation, and you've seen this. You've seen what she's about. She hates conservatives. She's going after them. She'll target them. She sings. She does TikTok videos. This is an unserious government. We've been through this before. Josh Hawley wants to know one simple thing. How in the world was this woman hired by Mayorkas and his people? I mean, the thought from Hawley here, this is amazing. I'm going to play this clip. You're going to love it. The thought from Hawley is here, there must have been real vetting, a whole bunch of people. How did you miss this stuff? How did you miss her and her disgusting videos where she asks, who does she have to have sex with to become powerful? Her awful attacks on conservative Americans. All of these things that are out there and easy to find. How did Mayorkas miss all this and hire this woman? This is a remarkable exchange. Josh Hawley on Wednesday with Alejandro Mayorkas about the hiring of disinformation czar Nina Jankowicz.
Were you aware of this information when you chose her? Everything I've just shown you?
I was not.
How could you not be? Did you do any research on her?
Senator, I will not discuss the internal workings of the hiring process.
You won't?
Of the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, let me ask you about this. I'm sure there are documents pertaining to this board, minutes of meetings, communications about who would serve on the board. Will you release those to this committee?
Senator, there are not yet this governance
board. Wait a minute. There are no minutes of meetings about this board?
It is not yet.
You've not created any records?
It has not yet begun its work.
You've hired her. You surely had deliberations about hiring her.
The board has not yet met.
You had deliberations about hiring her, though, correct?
I did not, Senator.
You just said that you are solely responsible for hiring her.
In my capacity as the secretary, I bear responsibility.
You're telling me that there are no documents associated with this board?
You asked for meeting
minutes of meetings, documents pertaining to the board, any records or communications about who would serve on the board. Will you turn those over to this committee? Any document of pertaining to this board, will you turn it over to this committee?
Senator, we owe you documents with respect to the work of this board that already are in existence.
So you'll turn them all over. You will turn those documents over to this committee.
Unless there is a legal basis for us not to do so, Senator, I will follow up with my colleagues on that.
Wait a minute. You started to say yes, but then you just turned. Is that a yes or is that a maybe? I'll get back to you later.
He's exactly right. Is that yes, you're going to send anything or hey, you're just saying it's coming? He's not sending anything over. This thing's going nowhere with Alejandro Mayorkas. He takes full responsibility for hiring her and said, no, he didn't know that stuff was out there about her. We have the highest level secretaries in the cabinet starting new agencies and hiring a person to put them in charge at the federal level that they did not even go look at her social media timeline. Do you know what happens today if you go and try to apply? A retiree, maybe you're a 60-year-old dude, whatever. Maybe you don't work anymore. Maybe you're coming out of retirement. You're going to go find something to make $20 an hour. And you go to Home Depot and you fill out the application. And they say, hey, we really like you. We're going to get back to you. You know what they do? You know what the general manager of Home Depot does? He does a very thin, shallow dive into your social media. Looks into your background, makes sure this guy isn't making death threats at home on Twitter or something like that. They take a quick look. The guy hiring you is probably 36 years old. He knows how to do all this. They look it all up. They take a quick look. They may even ask you to pee in a cup, see if you're taking drugs. Did they do any of this? This is the federal level. This is a secretary in the cabinet hiring starting a brand new branch of bureaucracy, if you will. The disinformation board. And they hire the lady to put her in charge, and they don't look at this. I mean, this stuff was out in minutes after they announced she was hired. Within minutes, you could see what kind of a crazoid this was. This isn't the most important thing in the Biden administration, this has to be the most embarrassing. That moment right there, I can't believe this isn't getting more play. That's the embarrassing part. The embarrassing part isn't Nina Jankowicz. She's not the embarrassing part. There's all kinds of weird, crazy white chick libs like her out there doing stuff like that on TikTok. The crazy part is she supposedly is the disinformation specialist that they hired her without even checking to see what she's done. Or even worse, they don't care. But Mayorkas said right there, he didn't know. He didn't know. He'd not seen the stuff. He hadn't heard it. He didn't know. And he's responsible. And he's like, well, what about the panel? He's like, no, I did this on my own. So he just knew of somebody that had given speeches that was a leftist about disinformation on the right and said, let's hire her and put her in charge. That's all it was. I had a conversation with a person yesterday. Well, I'll tell you. No, I won't tell you. I won't tell you who it was. I had a conversation yesterday and said, this man said to me, he said, you know, when I was 7 or 8 years old and I was growing up, we always thought of like the mayor of our town and the governor and our senators and the president is like the best among us. We thought, wow, they're educated, they're smart, they're there, they're in charge, they're for America, they want to do right, they want to help people. My God, have the Democrats killed that? Have they just shot that to hell? They are not for the people. Joe Biden is out there in his ultra MAGA people, basically looking at 70 million people saying you're awful and we recognize you as a problem in this country and we want to get rid of you. We want to unite the country. My ass. You want to unite anything. These are the worst among us. These people are there for themselves. They're there to push only their social causes. They're not there to defend America, to grow America, to build America, to create patriotism and pride and heritage and history. That's not why they're there. They're there for their own causes of power, their own seeking power to destroy what America has been. They want to completely and fundamentally change her. That's all they want to do. It's just the saddest of all things. How embarrassed would you be if you were the general manager at Home Depot? All right, how embarrassed would you be? And then your regional manager comes along and goes, hey, this lady you just hired to put in charge here, we found a bunch of stuff on social media. How'd you miss it? You'd be embarrassed. Oh, Alejandro Mayorkas, no big deal. Standard operating procedure for the Dems. Exactly what it is. All right, as much as I love Josh Hawley, I'm trying real hard to stay out of these primaries because I think you guys are all, and ladies, you're all smart enough. Everyone that listens to this is smart enough to know who to vote for or who you want to vote for. And we're all nuanced and different, and primaries are complicated because some people want somebody farther right. Some people want somebody electable. Somebody want people that does it. I get it. Everybody's different. I'll tell you what, this Eric Greitens saga in Missouri is scary to me, and here's why. He wins in court on Thursday. A Missouri judge has given the green light to a subpoena for Eric Greitens to subpoena phone records of his ex-wife and find out all of her communications between her and the GOP establishment, as Greitens calls it. This is Mitch McConnell's staffers and Karl Rove. Eric Greitens has a subpoena to find phone records of his ex-wife from Mitch McConnell and Karl Rove to create what Greitens calls a scam, a hit piece process, because Greitens is like the Trump guy. He's the far-right guy in the race, and Rove doesn't like him. McConnell doesn't like him. They don't want Greitens in D.C. All of this of what I've said for you, I'm in agreement with. I'm in agreement with all that. If there was no drama with Greitens and he was clean and good, I'm good with him. I'd be good with him. He's got a lot going on in his life right now. And it's all playing out in court and in the public eye. And that's no time to run for Senate, in my opinion. Here's the problem I have. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Eric Greitens is bad or a fraud or that, you know, what he's saying about her isn't correct. I don't know. What I know is it reminds me of Kris Kobach running for governor of Kansas. You don't have to look very far across the border to see what happens. Kobach was far right. He was the Trump guy. I voted for Kobach. I have no problem with Kris Kobach. In fact, I think he's going to become the attorney general in Kansas. And I'm going to be thrilled that he's there. I like Kris Kobach. But we all knew it was going to be hard for him to win governor. We all knew that he was so far right, it was going to be hard. And I think if Eric Greitens gets the Senate nomination, I think he'll win in Missouri. But I know Vicky Hartzler will, or Eric Schmidt will. I know they will. I know if they get the nomination, they're headed to D.C. for 6 years. And call me conservative or pragmatic in my assessment of politics, I just want to win the damn seat. Would I rather have somebody that I know is absolutely conservative and principled and a fighter? Eric Greitens is all those things as it pertains to politics. His personal life, can't say that I know. Can't say that I've followed that closely. Again, if no crime's committed, whatever. He hasn't beaten anybody up. Is the guy a freak? Maybe he's a freak. I don't know. These accusations about him and his kids, they're trying to keep him from winning. I get it. The GOP establishment does not want Greitens to win. I get that. With all of you listening that want to send me an email, say, Kevin, lighten up on Greitens. He's the best. I understand. And under other circumstances, I'd agree with you that he's the best. But he's not the best if he can't win the general election. The timing just seems off. Clean it all up. Get it all behind you. Then run for something. You're young. This is not a 70-year-old guy. He's still got a future. Go practice law a few years. Circle back when something opens up. Governor, whatever it may be, do it. Try it. This can't be it. We can't lose that federal Senate seat right now. We can't. You can't mess with this. I can't tell you to vote for or not vote for Eric Greitens. What I can tell you is I understand both arguments. I understand why you love the guy. And I loved him at one point too. And I'm not saying I don't. If you told me Greitens is the senator, let me be very clear about this, that he wins the primary and wins the general, I'll do cartwheels. I'll be happy as heck. I think he's perfect for the job. But he is far from perfect to get elected. That's the scary part for me. Okay, in Los Angeles, the district attorney is not filing felony charges on the man who tackled Dave Chappelle on stage. Now, there's outrage everywhere on this. This is remarkable. This is the kind of thing you should study in college. Right, we have all these real crimes with loaded guns, robberies, assaults, things that happen in Los Angeles, and they don't charge them with felonies, or they release them and they go. We know about Gascon, the DA, and how light he is on crime and all these things. This was a fake gun, and the assault was tackling a guy by his ankles. Now, make no mistake about it. That's all that occurred. You got tackled by the ankles, and Chappelle, the only thing that hit the ground was his butt. His head never hit the ground. His torso never went to the ground. The guy grabbed his legs. It was like a weak sauce flag football tackle. Oh, accidentally tackled you. You know, like, oh, I don't want to get a penalty on the quarterback. Let me see how softly I can tackle the quarterback. That's what it was. I'm not condoning it. I'm not defending it in any way. I'm going to make a point here. The gun was fake. It had a blade on it. It was like a switchblade, fake gun switchblade thing. It pops out. The knife pops out. Has anybody asked, was the knife out? Was the gun just on him? I don't think it was in his hand, was it? Was it in his possession? I mean, at no point, if he wanted to stab Dave Chappelle with that knife, he would have done it. That wouldn't have been hard at all. He's right there. He's got his hands around him. If he wanted to stab him, he could have. So, again, bad crime. I'm all for charging him with a felony. I just want to point out that it will be amazing with all the things that happen. We see cops executed in cars in Los Angeles. Gang members just walk up, shoot them in the head as their initiation. We see all this rampant crime in Los Angeles and our major cities, all of the things going on. And they let them go. They just let people, they release them. They don't charge them with felonies. They walk out. More crimes are committed. It feeds itself. The way crime goes up is you release criminals back onto the street and it escalates. They just create more crimes. Hey, I got away with that one. Watch me get away with this one. That's how it's escalating, folks. Make no mistake about it. It's by releasing people and letting them back out into the population. You go, well, it's the same argument people make about drugs. Oh, I can handle smoking pot all day. Maybe I'll try some cocaine. It's the same thing. I can drink wine and beer. Why not drink vodka? Things escalate. If you get away with something, you do more, right? So here we sit, and now the world is going to go crazy about the justice system in Los Angeles because there's no felony charges for a guy half-tackling Dave Chappelle on stage. We don't even know that the knife was out. I don't know if the weapon was in his pocket or he had it in his hand. We don't even know this. This doesn't look like it was a very dangerous crime. It looked more like a stunt for publicity than anything else. And now everyone is outraged at the criminal justice system in Los Angeles. How messed up are we that we have to see something with a celebrity on tape to get our attention? In the grand scheme of things, with everything going on in this country, how harmless was Will Smith's slap of Chris Rock? It was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. In the grand scheme of things, of all the crimes and assaults and things that are out there, in the grand scheme of things, we're horrified. Oh my God, a celebrity was slapped. Oh no, a celebrity was tackled around the ankles. Look, none of this stuff should be happening. It's pathetic that anybody goes on stage and does anything to anyone. You have no right to do that. It is a crime. You should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I think this should be a felony. I think they should make a statement here. You can't run on stage and do this. I'm in agreement with the people that think it should be a felony. What I have a hard time justifying is, how is this one the case that gets people's attention and says, well, they're a little soft on crime out there in LA? How in the world is that the case? Because it's Dave freaking Chappelle? I like the guy. He's funny, whatever. I'm cool with all these people. Why is it that if it happens to a celebrity and it's on tape, now we have to pay attention? Do you not agree with me that we've got everything upside down if we're now judging our justice system because celebrities are getting slapped or tackled? Oh, now we got to get tough on crime. Really? That's crazy. That is crazy. KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. How about this? You know, every now and then you realize that it's about teamwork. That everything in life, everything in your family, everything about a business is about teamwork. Nothing proves that more than the recent trade of the Chiefs' speedy wide receiver to the Miami Dolphins. And what we're learning is the Chiefs are about a team. They're putting it together. We saw the draft. It's all about teamwork. Well, Mike Robinson and his team at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC are the same way. It's not about one person. It's not about Mike. It's not about Tim. Those are my guys there. It's about everyone making a difference for you. Look, if you're looking for dedicated people that have you covered from sales to service, that's a true team. Right now it's truck month at Roberts Robinson. 0% up to $750 purchase allowance on GMC Sierra trucks and SUV. That includes select GMC Terrains and Acadia SUVs as well. Want an extra bonus? Roberts Robinson is one of the very few dealerships that offers the lifetime warranty free. Don't even think about buying a truck without getting the lifetime warranty. Before you go anywhere, you guys, work trucks, you drive these things to 300,000 miles. You get the lifetime warranty at Roberts Robinson. Before you go anywhere to look for a new GMC, go to robertsrobinson.com or Facebook Roberts Robinson. Tell them KKHI sent you. With GMC, we are professional grade. Advanced medical imaging online at medimageks.com. MRIs and CT scans with no waiting. Get in today. Outside hospital chains and whatnot are very expensive. They take forever. I went to NKC Dental yesterday, and in the office, in the building they had a scan place, and it was just packed with people, and I know they all had to wait 2 weeks to get in there. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can get your MRI or your CT scan today or tomorrow at Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. Call Trisha right now and ask her. Just ask. Say, how does this work? They'll take your insurance. You don't have to go where your doctor says. You can go to medimageks.com. Trisha's number is 785-856-0224. They have the best, biggest, most comfortable machines for MRI available. It's quiet. They have natural lighting. Healthcare with big corporations is a mess. Put healthcare in your own hands with MedImageKS.com. And 360 Document Solutions, your business-to-business contact person. These are your consultant. These are your advisors. They can help you be more profitable, more efficient with copiers, printers, IT solutions, mail systems, phone systems. 360documentsolutions.com. Anywhere in Western Missouri or anywhere in the state of Kansas, if your business is in those places, 360 can help you. Call Mark Lindquist. He's the owner. He will answer your emails and your phone calls. It is true. He doesn't have to. This man loves working, and he loves saving you money. 913-745-5344, 360documentsolutions.com. Sinister Media Alert. This is in Kansas City. I mentioned it maybe a couple times when I spoke with the Jackson County Republicans at their dinner a couple of weeks ago. I try when I speak now about politics to give a little insight into something that I have some expertise in, and that is media. And I say, look, it's real easy to see when they're lying to you, whether it's the Russia collusion hoax, mostly peaceful protest, and in the background you see the police building burning, things like that. These are the easy ones. All right, so Americans can see when they're lying. What they don't see is the slow drip every day of how sinister these people are and how subtle they can be in changing people's minds, in creating the narrative, maybe is the better way to say it. There was a doozy in the Kansas City Star, which, by the way, wrote an op-ed this week, disgusting, about the Supreme Court draft leak. They literally wrote an op-ed in the Kansas City Star where they said, what's going to happen when a dad rapes his daughter and she becomes pregnant? We can't get rid of that baby. That's what this is all about. That's why they're saying we can't overturn Roe versus Wade, because somebody so sick at the Kansas City Star thinks about a dad raping a daughter and impregnating her. What is wrong with you? Is that code for, we think there's backwoods white people, Trump voters, living down in the sticks in the Ozarks that we know they're raping their daughters, and that daughter's going to have the freedom to go get her abortion. These people are sick. To even think of, to see a draft leak from the Supreme Court and come up with dad rapes daughter, now what? You're sick. You people are sick. You have sick thoughts about sex. You think the worst of everything. But this is how they do it on a slow drip, day in and day out. This is how sinister the Star is. There was another murder. We don't want to talk about the murder rate. We don't want to talk about Quentin Lucas's record with the murder rate. We don't want to talk about how Democrats in major cities in America have no idea how to deal with crime. None. And their division between the people and the police, dividing the two, has led to more chaos and more crime. Police are standing down. They're letting murders happen. You got it? We see how it works. We've watched it evolve over the last few years. So we get another one in Kansas City, and this is the headline. Because a lot of people just see the headline, or they'll scan online. Who wants to read another murder story? I don't. I'm not even going to tell you about the story, because I don't care. I only care about the headline. This is the headline of a murder in Kansas City, as we're having another record year for murder. The headline is, quote, Kansas City police investigate homicide after person declared dead following shooting. Wouldn't a better headline be Kansas City police investigate another murder? Again, listen to how soft this gets at the end. Kansas City police investigate homicide. Investigate homicide. They're not saying that a murder happened. The headline doesn't even tell you there was a murder. Kansas City police investigating homicide after person declared dead following shooting. Now, we don't want to say somebody killed somebody. We're going to say that the authorities showed up and declared this person dead, and this person had been shot. That is unbelievable. Dude, I'm pretty good at this stuff. I feel like I could come up, like I could rewrite the headline and make it sound horrible for Quentin Lucas. Just give me 5 minutes and I can come up with a doozy. I'm pretty good at that. I don't think I could ever come up with that. Investigate homicide after person declared dead following shooting. Love that headline. But we get, you know, their feeling on all this stuff is that we can't handle the truth. The underlying tone of all this is the public isn't smart enough. They can't handle the truth. Let's hoodwink them here. All right, let's do the bait and switch, and let's move on with that. I mentioned I was at North Kansas City Dental yesterday. I got two new crowns in my teeth, and he did some kind of resin, some sort of thing. I had a chipped front tooth. He didn't have to really grind it down or anything. He cleaned it right out. This guy's unbelievable. Dr. Bill Bush. He used my insurance. Awesome. You need a checkup, teeth cleaning, get in there, get checked out. You should really do that. They say every 6 months. I say once a year. I go once a year. Once a year to the dentist, have them check you out. NKCDental.com, 816-471-2911. Yesterday at NKC Dental, I can't give names, one of the Chiefs coordinators was in there, and a player from the defense was in there. I told you he's the dentist of the Chiefs. A coordinator was in there, and somebody from the defense was in there, getting worked on by Dr. Bush. He's the best. He'll tell you Chief stories all day. Just get in his chair and say, tell me some Chief stories. He'll tell you stories about games. This dude, I'm going to have him on. He's got great sports stories. He's the guy who found, remember the Texas player a few years ago at Sprint Center? Basketball, lost a tooth during a game. And they found it on the floor. And he's just bleeding everywhere. And they're like, well, he's out for the game. And he came in, and Rick Barnes, I think, was the coach then. And he comes back in the game, and Texas wins the game. It was the championship game. They won the Big 12 championship. Dr. Bush went back in the locker room and put that tooth back in and back on that dude and stopped the bleeding and got him back in the game, and Texas won the game. And he got it like a game ball from Rick Barnes, the coach of Texas, for winning the Big 12. I said, dude, he's the coach of Tennessee now. You could go anytime you want. I said, Coach Barnes will never forget you, what you did that day. And it says something like that in a note that he gave to him. Pretty cool stuff. But when I say he's the dentist, he's at the Chiefs games. Something happens in game. It's got to have Dr. Bush does it. This guy, that could be your guy. You might have been in there yesterday and seen a Chiefs coordinator and a member of the defense in the chairs next to you. Dr. Bill Bush, NKCDental.com. Offices in North Kansas City and Westwood near the plaza. On to sports. And Bijan Robinson is a running back for the University of Texas. Bijan Robinson's really good. I think he's obviously a better pro prospect than the kid at Kansas State in the Big 12, Deuce Vaughn. But Deuce Vaughn's a freak. I mean, he's really, really, really good. He's a little smaller than your average NFL running back. I think he's smaller than Darren Sproles. But he's really good. And I'll ask you this question because K-State just lost Nigel Pack. How in the world, when you hear what I have to say about Bijan Robinson, how in the world is Deuce Vaughn still at Kansas State? The deadline for transferring the portal was May 1. So he's there at least until August now. You can't transfer again until August. So he's there. How is Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State, and what could he have gotten if he transferred out? If he just entered the portal, which he didn't, what may he have received? Bijan Robinson at the University of Texas yesterday signed a contract with Lamborghini of Austin. He has a brand new Lamborghini. Texas running back will drive to practice every day in a Lamborghini. It is his sixth deal. He has a chicken finger store. He's got, I didn't write them all down. He has six different businesses in Austin paying him money, and he just got a Lamborghini. Bijan Robinson, he's a tremendous player. He's really good. Is this really what you wanted college athletics to become? How is Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State when he could be driving a Lamborghini? I don't know how, you know, K-State, KU, and Missouri in football, I don't know how they compete. And I think we may get to a point where with basketball, there's going to be a finite amount of money that Kansas is willing to spend, and somebody out there with so many schools is going to be willing to spend more, aren't they? Would Kansas have given $800,000 for Nigel Pack? I don't think so, but Miami did. I hate it. You know I hate it. I'm not gonna labor on it, but you should know that Texas running back drives a Lamborghini. Bijan Robinson, tremendous player. Ricky Fowler was playing in a golf tournament yesterday in Charlotte. I believe they're in Charlotte this week. He's not very good anymore. Ricky Fowler's famous. He's not very good. Probably getting close to the point where he moves on to do something else, whether it's an on-course commentator or work for Golf Channel and do a show or something like David Faraday does. I don't know what his next move will be. He's made more money from being Ricky Fowler than from golfing. He doesn't win, really. He doesn't win much, hardly at all. And his game is all but over. He's lost it. He's not very good. He misses a lot of cuts. But people love Ricky Fowler. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful person. He does. You can't find a better person in sports. Let's just put it right there. This is an outstanding man who gives more than he takes. Maybe that's part of his golfing problem. Maybe he spends so much time at the Shriners Hospital and doing things with kids and hosting people to raise money and do things. Maybe he may be too philanthropic. I hate to even say that, but he may be. It's a calling to him. Maybe he doesn't work on his game enough. I don't know. He's playing golf in this tournament. He hits a tee shot out of bounds. He's having a terrible time on this hole. It's a par five. He's already hit it five times. He's still 134 yards out. He's looking at a snowman, maybe. He's 134 yards out. He's laying five on a par five, and he puts it in the hole for a bogey six. And he stood in the fairway, and Ricky's such a fun guy. He took his left hand. He put palm up, left hand. He took his index finger, his right hand, and he started counting. Pinky, ring finger, middle finger, index finger, thumb is five. And then he holds up a finger on his right hand, his thumb. He goes, yeah, six. And he nods and he smiles. He goes, six, okay. And he looked at the cameras and he's having a good time with them. I'm like, yes, Ricky Fowler's good for golf. He's not a great golfer, but goodness sakes, is he a likable guy? Phil Mickelson, not as likable a guy all of a sudden for a lot of people, although I love people that tell the truth and I'm still a Phil fan. Some reporting in this book on him is now out. And some of it comes from the federal government when they investigated Phil Mickelson for the Dean Foods stock exchange thing. He had a friend who knew a guy that was in charge of Dean Foods. What they ruled was Billy Walters was a guy who knew the CEO of Dean Foods. And Billy Walters is like a gambler. And the federal government could never arrest him for illegal gambling and all these other things. They've tried and tried and tried, and they couldn't get Billy Walters. They finally got him on insider trading because he made $17 million or something on buying Dean Foods stock before a big event happened 3 weeks later, and they made a bunch of money. Well, Billy Walters was friends with the CEO. It was insider information. Billy Walters went to jail. Billy Walters was friends and golf buddies with Phil Mickelson, told Phil Mickelson about Dean Foods. Phil Mickelson made $1 million in like a day on Dean Foods, but Phil Mickelson did not get prosecuted because it was secondhand information. It wasn't insider information because Phil didn't know the CEO of Dean Foods. So Phil gets away with that. But Phil is one money scam after another, and he's a wild gambler. And now we have reports from this book that Phil Mickelson lost gambling. Okay, and Billy Walters gets all this reputation for being like the greatest sports bettor in the history of sports betting. I don't buy it. He has a consortium. He gets rich people to put money in. To me, it looks more like a Ponzi scheme than beating the man at football bets. Phil Mickelson from 2010 to 2014 lost $40 million gambling. $40 million. He reported the losses to the government. $40 million lost to gambling. Now, he was making $48 million a year, so clearly he lost $10 million a year gambling. He got by, but people are saying, look, he had some years there where he was making all this money and barely breaking even because of his wild lifestyle. Now he's lost all his sponsors, and he's not good enough to win any tournaments anymore. He can go on the senior tour and win a bunch. I still think Phil's going to be just fine and make millions and millions and millions of dollars when this is all over because he's Phil Mickelson and people like him. And he can make $100,000 to go appear at a corporate event somewhere and speak and play in a golf tournament with the CEO. There's money everywhere for somebody like Phil. So he's going to be just fine. But can you imagine losing $40 million gambling? And we like Phil. I had no problem. Hey, he goes out and legendarily plays on a practice round in an event with another really rich golfer. Let's play for 50 grand today. Great. You're a pro golfer. I get that. You're in control of beating that guy or not on that practice round day to get into tournament mode and to get focused. I get that part. We heard the great story about how he went to the Super Bowl 1 year after winning a major and the Masters, I think. And he was so happy the following year he took his buddies to the Super Bowl. And when he picked them up on his private jet, there's like four of them going. He picked up three buddies. He had Callaway gym bags stuffed with cash. And there was $100,000 cash in each one of the bags for his buddies. Here you go. You're going to Vegas. Here's your gambling money. Just giving it away. But losing $40 million, oof, that's a sad, sad deal. You're not going to lose money at B-Stock. Right now they have iPhones. iPhone SE, iPhone XS, iPhone Pro 11, all at B-Stock, all less than anywhere else. They're brand new phones. They've never had brand new iPhones before. Go get them. They've got Apple accessories and Sony televisions now, along with appliances. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. It's a great Kansas City company that makes collectible pieces of art or carry everyday pocket knives. You name it, they're gorgeous. Father's Day isn't very far away. You might want to think about these for your dad. Keep life from getting dull. Log on to finchknifeco.com. See the entire collection of all the great Finch pocket knives designed right here in Kansas City. They can't really advertise in a lot of places, but they've chosen here because it's friendly here. I'll take them. I love their products. They have a new line called Chernobyl Ant, and you'll love those if you check them out online at finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, Teague Tractor in Belton, or the Bullet Hole in Mission. And Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics. Yeah, they are on it. They have a $500 off Mother's Day special for the entire month of May. They love moms at Fry Orthodontics. And if you mention Mother's Day this month of May, you can save $500. They're really about quality of care at Fry Orthodontics. We love that. And they've got, of course, convenient locations. So if you're into great service, friendliness, happiness, you'll enjoy your experience at Fry Orthodontics. Look, this is an investment for life. And that's why they do retainers for life. Your smile is going to stay with you for life, but if your kid loses their retainer, they'll replace it at Fry Orthodontics. They do things that other people don't do. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. There's a television show called America's Got Talent, and it has spawned a sequel or spinoff called America's Got Talent Extreme. And this show aired this summer, I think, for the first time. And it's crazy people doing outrageously stupid stuff for money. Oh, mostly for fame, because I don't think they pay him much unless they win. They pay him a little. There's like a guy in a wheelchair goes down a massive ramp and tries to jump over cars in his wheelchair. Stuff like that. So this came out this week. There was a contestant, apparently, six months ago. I don't think this will air or be part of the program. Maybe it will. Maybe they want you to know this is really dangerous, because a lot of times you watch these things and you go, well, that's dangerous, but it's under control. It's Hollywood. There's got to be something. We know this is safe. It's fake. Nothing's going to happen. We have that feeling now, right? Well, a gentleman named Jonathan Goodwin was practicing for his event, which was going to be the next day. The televised portion was the next day. He was practicing. Here's what this daredevil decided to do. He decided to get in a straitjacket, hang upside down 70 feet apart, and have two automobiles swinging like pendulums. And he would have a certain amount of time to get out of that suit and fall 70 feet to the ground where they had a thing for him to fall on, the inflatable mattress thing, where he would then fall to the ground safely and be okay. He didn't get out while practicing, and the cars crushed him. Broke the tether. Apparently when the cars hit, there was a fire. It caught on fire. These cars were, on top of it all, were flammable. So I'm having a hard time describing it. There is no video that I've seen. So the cars crushed him, broke the tether, or somebody hit the thing and released him. I'm sure there's a person in charge that can release the whole thing. He falls upside down in the straitjacket. After being pummeled by these cars, he lands on his head. He's paralyzed for life. He had to have, he lost a kidney, shoulder blades. His body is burned. Both legs are broken, and he's paralyzed for life. And I'll just ask the question, why? Look, I really like doing a podcast. I get the performance part. I get the adrenaline rush of you get to perform somehow, and people watch or listen or care. It's the greatest feeling in the world. It's unbelievable that people listen to this podcast or listen on the radio or watched when I was on TV. It's a great feeling. I feel it every day. I'm fed every day this little piece of me that needs it, to be honest. I need it now. I've had it my whole life. I like it. I love the fact that people listen to the podcast. I love doing this. I would not do this if it were dangerous. If there was any chance of bodily harm of me doing this podcast, I would not be podcasting. I'm not going to podcast and say, okay, the cars after 1 hour are going to smash you and you're going to catch on fire. You better be done with your podcast within that time frame. No. I'm out. I'm not doing this if there's bodily harm involved. I darn sure don't want to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And that's mostly what these people, these aren't rich people. These daredevil people aren't rich. They do it for the thrill. They do it for the satisfaction of people watching and paying attention and the notoriety. That's why you go on AGT Extreme. These are dangerous, dangerous things. But I cannot and I will not end the podcast leading you to the weekend with something as negative as a guy getting paralyzed. So we will finish with this. We'll finish with a laugh. And it's another headline. This one came from CBS Sports as I was perusing all the sports stories today. And I, to be honest, I thought, well, it's a little weak in sports right now. It's a little weak. I can sit here and talk to you about the Royals all day, I guess. Do you really want that? They're playing the Orioles this weekend. They've got a team maybe they can beat. I like that. It's at CBS Sports, and the headline says, Loaded Sports Weekend Doesn't Get Much Better Than This. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm guilty of saying that. And I maybe say that 10 or 12 weekends a year. You know what they are. NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, March Madness, Masters weekend. There's a lot of things that I really love. And go, opening football week, opening day in baseball, and March Madness. When things converge is when it's really exciting and fun. I'm definitely guilty of saying it 10 or 12 times a year. I have never said it Mother's Day weekend. Never. At any moment have I ever said it Mother's Day weekend. No. Loaded Sports Weekend Doesn't Get Much Better Than This. At CBSSports.com. Here's what they're promoting as the big weekend. The Kentucky Derby, the WNBA starting, and the continuation of playoffs in the NHL and NBA. Now, we're not at conference finals. We're not at the finals. We're starting the women's basketball league that nobody pays any attention to. And you can't name one horse in the Kentucky Derby. And CBS Sports is Loaded Sports Weekend Doesn't Get Much Better Than This. Now, that's not, I can't pin that on liberals in sports media. I can't. I pin that on probably an intern or somebody really low level who's just, they're cranking so much material. Like, what do I say? Oh, look at all these cool things. The Derby, the WNBA. There's four things this weekend. Doesn't get much better than this. I think it's just lazy. I think it's quick and lazy, crank and bank. That's all it is. So I'm not going to be critical of it. I just thought that was funny. If I were doing a funny headline segment, that would be it. So there you have it. Have a laugh at the expense of CBS Sports. And thanks so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. If you got a chance this weekend, I always like to recommend, even if you're not in the market, go check out my buddy's website, TJ Vilkanskis. He's a custom home builder. Back9development.com. Back9development.com. Look at the portfolio work he does. I appreciate you, all of you, patronizing our sponsors and giving them the opportunity to earn your business. They don't want your business just because you're on here. They want to earn your business. With TJ, it's a little different because he doesn't get a lot of customers from the podcast. Obviously, it's a very specialized thing. But if you'd like to know a little bit about the kind of people that we associate with, the people that I know, and learn a little bit about TJ, it's fun. Go look at some of the things he's built. Back9development.com. He's a cool guy. Have a wonderful weekend. If you get a chance to tell somebody about the podcast, that's awesome. If you haven't hit the like, follow, or subscribe button yet, please do so. If you'd like to become a patron, you can sign up on this Friday, and you'll get the newsletter on Saturday, the Patrons Post, and you get all of the podcasts, patron podcasts that we've done before. The whole library opens up to you. You can get them all if you sign up to become a patron at kkhasissues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.